Greetings and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Hachilom. We're now at the final Mishnah, Mishnah Vav of the second parak of Masechet Bava Kama, parak Kitzad HaRegel. The Mishnah, which is very short, is found on Chaf Vav Amud Aleph, and it deals with the fifth of the five Muadim listed in Mishnah Dalet of Parak Aleph, Adam Muad Leolam. That's the statement in Parak Aleph. And now the explication. Ben Shogeg Ben Mezid, meaning a person is always responsible for his actions, whether it's either intentional or otherwise. Ben Er Ben Yashen, whether he's awake or even asleep, as we saw back on Daf Gimel, even if a person's asleep and he knocks some things over in his sleep, he's liable for those damages. Simeat Ein Chavero V'Shiber Takelim Meshalem Nezek Shalem. The Mishnah is a little oblique here. So the sense seems to be that if he blinded another fellow, or he broke vessels, meaning that these were done unintentionally. Shiber Takelim seems to be attaching itself to being asleep. So that means if he blinded another fellow unintentionally, playing baseball and he threw the ball in his direction and hit him in the eye or something like that, or he was sleeping and there was some Kelim near him and he moved around and knocked them over, then Meshalem Nezek Shalem. Now, the Gemara will immediately address the issue of liability for human actions that are unintentional. So the Mishnah put those two cases next to each other. Mahatam nezek in arba dvarim lo, just like in the case of kelim, you just pay for nezek. There is no payment for battery of pain and all of the other payments. Similarly, blinding here, you're only chayav for nezek, which means that this must be a case of shogeg, because of course if you intentionally blinded somebody, you'd be chayav for tsar, ripui, shevet, boshet, and of course the nezek. So how do we know that you're liable for shogeg? Amarkra, so both Chizkia himself taught, and Etana in his Beit Midrash taught, from the Pasuk Petza Tachat Patza, in the list in Mishpatim, it says Kviya Tachat Kviya, Chabura Tachat Chabura, Petza Tachat Patza, you have to pay a wound in place of a wound. What's the Drasha? L'chaivo al hashogeg kemezi. That's there to tell you that any sort of wound, even if inflicted unintentionally, you're liable for. V'ala ones kemeratzon. And even if you were forced into it, somebody pushed you into someone, and you hurt them, you're liable. Of course, you could perhaps go back and sue the person who pushed you in. Now, haimi ba'ele, wait a second, that petza tachat petza is needed for something else, which is litein sar b'mokom nezek, to teach, and we'll get to this in the 8th parak, to teach that you're liable for payment of tsar, for pain, even when you're paying for nezek. So the answer is, im kein lichtov kra petza bipetza. So let the text say, petza bipetza, meaning a wound for a wound. My tachat petza. Why does it use the more expansive tachat? Shema mina tarti. We infer two things from there. One, for the payment of tsar itself. And second of all, sort of contradistinctively in a way, to find liability for shogeg, just like mezid, even though, and this is the contradistinctive part, even though in the case of shogeg, there is no payment for tsar. And that's something that Tosfot addresses at that point. Okay, Amar Rabba. Rabba now presents a whole series of cases of various levels of lack of awareness or intention when inflicting damage and doing other actions, and what the halachic consequences are in each case. Case number one. Hayta evan munachat lo b'chiko v'lo hikir ba. He had a rock under his arm. He had no idea it was there. He had placed it there, had forgotten about it, had no idea it was there. V'amad v'nafla, he stood up and it fell out of his arm. So le'ian nizakin, if it caused damage, chayav, because adam muad le'olam. So there's liability, and that will be true through all these cases. L'inyan arba'ad dvarim, as far as payment, if it hurt another person, and it caused them pain and medical bills, etc., patur, he's exempt, because arba'ad dvarim require intent to damage, as we will see later on. L'inyan Shabbat, let's say that this rock went more than 4 amot in Rishut Arbim. The answer is exempt, and the reason is Malachat Machshavat Asura Torah. When it comes to Shabbat, the framework for liability is far more, the threshold is higher for liability, and that is, you have to have your intention accomplished. And since he had no intention here whatsoever, there is no liability. Linyan Galut, if he inadvertently killed somebody with that rock, Patur, he is exempt. Why? Because galut itself starts with an awareness that you have the weapon in your hand, or an awareness that you're on top of the ladder or something like that, and then there was a lack of awareness about the next step. We'll see that here. But here he had no awareness from the get-go. Linyan Eved, what if the rock fell out and knocked out a tooth of his Eved Kanani? Does the Eved go free? Plug to the Rashbag v'Rabbanan. There's a machloket, Rosh Hashim Gamliel and the Rabbanan, D'Tanya. We saw this in Kiddushin, in the first parak. Hareshaya Rabbo Rofe. Let's say his master was an eye doctor or a dentist. V'marlo k'chol eini v'sim'a. And he asked his master to put some medicine around his eye. And instead he ended up blinding him. Chator li sheni, or he asked him to take care of a filling or something. V'pilan, he knocked his tooth out. Sichek ba'adon v'yatzal l'cherut. The position of the Rabbanan is that nonetheless the master poked out his eye or took out his tooth, therefore he goes free. Intention is of no consequence. And therefore in this case Rabbanan would say the Eved goes free. Rashbag omer v'shichata, in the text that tells you that, that if a master hurts one of the limbs of the Eved, he goes free. It says if he damages it, meaning achi kaven l'shachata, he has to intend to damage it. Here he's intending to heal it, and therefore the Eved doesn't go free, and therefore in our case he would not go free because there was no intent to damage, there was no awareness at all. Now, a twist, case B is a twist on case A, which is hikir ba'ushchacha. Let's say he was aware of the rock under his arm, and then he forgot about it, and then v'amad v'nafla, he stood up and fell out of his hand and things happened. So again, l'inyan nizakin chayav, that's easy. L'inyan dal dvarim patur, again, same reason. L'inyan galut chayav, here's where the changes. As far as galut would go, he would be chayav to go to an ir miklat for killing b'shogeg. Da'amakra b'shkaga. What's shkaga? Chaldav hele yediyah. The nature of shkaga, and this is in Hilchot Shkagot, and the Rambam explicated at great length. It's in basically Masachet Kritut, but it's in many places in Shas. The essence of Shkaga is there was awareness and then forgetfulness. That's also dealt with in the seventh parak in Shabbat. V'haha v'le yediya. And therefore, since the guy originally knew he had a rock and then he forgot about it, that's classic Shkaga. Le'inyan Shabbat patur. Again, patur for Shabbat. L'inyan Eved, Plugta Rashbag, Rabbanan, say Machloket. Okay, case three. Kaven Nizrok Shtayim Ezarak Arba. He intended to throw the rock, but he intended to throw the rock 2 amot and went 4 amot. And things happened. L'inyan Nizakin, again, Chayav. L'inyan Dal Dvarim Patur, because the person he hit was 4 amot away. He didn't intend to hit him. So therefore, he doesn't have to pay for all those other payments. L'inyan Shabbat, again, Melech Machshevet Ba'inan. And by the way, even if he intended to throw it 2, and it went 4, meaning he intended to throw it, but it only went 2, then, but even if he intended to throw it and went 2, he wouldn't be chayav, because 2 is not a shear of chiyuv. And since here he intended to go 2, and it went 4, he's not chayav, even though 4 is the shear of chiyuv. Now, le'inyan galut, le'inyan galut, asher lo tzada. And here we come into a little bit of a problem. The text, when it speaks about distinguishing between intentional killing and unintentional killing, it says that if somebody plots and plans to kill somebody by ambushing him, then he has to die. Vasher lot sada, if he didn't lie in wait, and then something happened and he died, then I'll find you a place for him to go, and that's of course arei miklat. Now, asher lo tzada, if he didn't lay in wait, amar Rachmana, prat l'nitkaven lizrok shtayim ezarak arba. And here Rashi quotes 2 opposite positions. One is that this is excluding somebody who intended to throw 2 and threw 4. That's not called intent, and therefore it is called killing b'shogeg, and he goes to irmiklat. The other one is to say that this excludes somebody who intended to throw 2 and threw 4, that he's too close, this is the way the Meiri explains the second position, that he intended to throw 2 means he's too close to Maisie to call him fully shogeg and be able to go to Ari Miklat, and he falls in the middle, and therefore he's exempt. Linyan Eved Pluktad Rashbag Rabbanan, again. Case 4. Nitkaven Lizrok Arba V'Zarak Shmone. And this, of course, the only purpose for which this will change will be Shabbat, because here his intention was to violate Shabbat. He did violate Shabbat, but differently than he intended. He intended to throw 4, he threw 8, which means it went to a different spot. L'inyan nezakin chayav, l'inyan dal dvarim patur, l'inyan shabbat, here's the difference. V'yomer kol makom shetzat hanuach, if he says, I don't care where it lands, in, then he's chayav. ilo lo. But if he says, I want it to land there, and it landed further over, then he's a patur. Linyan galut, same thing. Asher lo tzada, pratin kaven lizrok arba v'zorak shmona, which the same as 2 to 4. The only difference for which 2 to 4 will be, the only point at which 2 to 4 will be different than 4 to 8 is for Shabbat. So the two approaches of Rashi will apply equally here. Linyan eved, plugnash bag v'rabanan. Okay, case 5. V'amar rabba, and this we saw already, zorak kli merosh gahagag. A guy threw a vessel from the top of the roof, and it's gonna break. Another guy came along and hit it with a baseball bat on its way down. Patur. Then the guy who threw it is patur. The guy who hit it with the stick is patur. Maitama mana tavira tavar. He broke an already broken vessel, meaning had he done nothing, it was on its way to break. V'amaraba, but now it's a twist. This is what we did not see earlier. Zarak li mirosh hagag. Let's say he threw a vessel from the top of the roof and there were pillows on the ground, which means it would not have broken. And another guy came and removed the vessels before they hit the ground, the pillows before the vessels hit the ground. Or even the guy who threw it somehow raced down and removed the pillows before they hit stuff hit the ground. And now the vessel shattered. Patur. Everybody's patur here. Why? My tama beidna deshadi, when he threw them down, psuke mifsake gire, his arrows were stopped, meaning when he was throwing them down, they were not on their way to be broken, they were on their way to landing safely. The guy who removed them is patur because of the din of grama. He's the only second cause of nezikin, which is always patur. And therefore, even if it's the same guy, he plays two opposite roles, although it's probably physically impossible to throw it from the top of the roof and then get down to the bottom and remove the pillows before they hit. But theoretically, if such a thing would happen, he plays two opposite roles. One of the guy who throws down in a safe context of throwing them down to pillows. And the second is he's playing the role of a guy who moves the pillows, who's grama, and therefore he's pater. V'yama rabba, next case, is zarak tinok merosh hagag. This is a very sad case. A guy throws a baby off a roof. Uvacher v'kiblo b'sayaf. Another person came out and stuck his sword out, and the baby was impaled. Plugta Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteirav Rabbanan. It's a machlok between Yehuda ben Beteirav Rabbanan that we already saw. Detanya, hiku asar abnei adam asar maklot. If 10 people beat a guy with 10 sticks, bin vatacha ben bezacharzeh, when they hit him all at one time or in sequence, kulan pturin. That's position of the Rabbanan. Ben Beteirav Omer bezacharzeh hachon chayav. He disagrees and says that if they did it in sequence, the last guy is chayav neshikirev mitato, because he's the one who really caused the death. Now, bashor v'kiblo b'karnav. Let's say that instead of a person sticking out a sword, a shor was there and it landed on the horns and died. Plugtur b'shmol b'noshol b'yochem and bruk of rabbanon. This is a different machloket, and this is about kofar. The only issue is whether the owner of the ox has to be kofar. Detanya, when it comes to kofar, when an animal kills a person, we say v'natan pidyon nafsho. The owner of the ox has to pay a ransom for his life. Whose life? Demein nizak. The position of the rabbanon is it's the value of the nizak, the one who was damaged. The value of the person who did the damage. In this case, the nizak has no value because he's already being thrown off the roof. His life is already gone. But according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Brucha, you have to sort of redeem your own self, and therefore the owner of the shore still has to pay kofar. V'yama rabba, nafal mirosh hagag v'nitka b'isha. Very highly unlikely circumstance, or falls off a roof, there's a woman there, and they connect. Chayab b'dal advarim, so there's liability for the arba advarim of Nezek, because this was evidently Beruach Metsuya, which means that it was very likely that he was going to fall off the roof. The situation of the roof, along with the wind and everything else, was such that it was great likelihood he would fall off, and that's called Karov Lemezid. But v'yavim to lo kana, any sort of bia that would happen as a result is not called a bia, even b'yibum, where there's no need for dat, because there is at least a need for kavana l'bia ba'alma. Chayav v'nezek v'tzar v'ripui boshet. Why is he chayav for those four things? He's chayav for those four things. Ava boshet lo, not boshet. Why? Dinan eno chayav ala boshtat shiem mitkaven. The only time you're liable for shame is when you actually intend. Not for shame, but when you intend for damage. And here he didn't intend the damage. But he is liable for the other things because his putting himself in a precarious position with people below renders him liable. And now we'll see a twist on that. Let's say he was on a roof in a circumstance that likely he wouldn't fall. And suddenly a high gust came or something broke that was not expected underneath. and he fell, v'hizik ubiyesh, and he caused damage and shamed the person below. Chayav al nezek upatur b'dal advarim. He's only liable for nezek, but he's exempt for dal advarim because he was not expected to fall. Bruach mitsuya, let's say he fell off bruach mitsuya, which means it was clear that he would fall, is likely to fall, v'hizik ubiyesh, and all that happened. Chayav b'dal advarim patur al boshet. He's liable for four, but not for boshet. Why? Because boshet demands intent to do damage. But let's say on the way down he turned around because he wanted the damage. So on the way down he flipped around so he could come down on his back or with his feet or whatever way it would cause damage, which indicates he's now intending it. Chayav afala boshet. He's even liable for boshet. Detanya, how do we know that all of this? This is the case where two men are fighting and another woman gets involved. The wife of one of them gets involved and grabs her husband's opponent in a very shameful place. It says, V'shachayada v'echzika b'mvushab. Now, any odesh echzika? So the fact that it says she sends out her hands, don't I know that she then grabbed something? Isn't that obvious? Matom lomar v'echzika. Why does it have to say, and she grabbed on? Lomar lacha kevan shen kaven l'hazik. Once you have intention to do damage, pishlon kaven l'vayesh. Even though you didn't intend to shame, you're still chayav for boshet. That's the classic case of payment for boshet, because she shamed the other person by the private place where she grabbed him. V'amar Rabba, next case, hineach lo gachelet alibo meit. If a person puts a coal on another person's chest and the guy dies, patur, because the guy should have ran away, should have left, should have taken it off. Al bigdov v'nisraf chayav. If he put it on the other fellow's garment, for instance, the guy wasn't wearing it, but on a kli and it got burned, then you are liable. And now Amar Rava, for the first time we hear from someone not Rava in this whole series, Rava has a comment, Tarvayu Tanani. Both of these are supported by the Mishnah. Alibo, how do I know that if you put it on somebody's heart and they just leave it there and they die, you're pater? Ditnan, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, Kavash Alav L'tocha Ur, if you push somebody into a fire, L'tocha Maim, or into the water, Ve'eino Yachol Alot Misham, and the guy just cannot get out of there, Umeit, and he dies, Chayav, you're liable. But if you pushed him in, if he could get out, umate, and he died, patur, you're exempt, because the guy should have come out. Bigdo, how do we know the other ruling about the garment? None. Later on in Bava Kama, at the end of the 8th parak, it says, if a fellow says to another guy, Kriant ksuti v'shaber kadi, tear my garments, break my vessels, chayav, then if you do it, you're chayav. So in here, certainly, where the guy didn't even say anything, certainly you're chayav. Amanatli ftor patur. If the guy says, break my vessels, tear my garments, and on condition that you be patur, you are patur. By the way, the Mishnah then goes on to distinguish that from if he says, hit me, and you're patur, then in that case, you're not patur, even if he says it that way. Now, by Rabba then asks a question at the end of all this. Hiniach gachelet alev avdo. What if you took a coal and put it on the chest of somebody else's eved? Mahu. Kegufo dami, do we say an eved's a person, therefore he should have enough sense to run away, and if he doesn't, you're patur. Or kamamono dami, do we say that the eved, sahakol, is the possession of the other fellow, and you have to pay him for it? If Tim Saloma kegufo dami, if you say it's like putting it on somebody's body, and if you're exempt, shorohumahu, what do you say about an animal? Is it like a garment, because it's mamon, or because an animal also has sense, should run away? So hada pashtan, Rabba then answered, avdo kegufo, shoro kamamono. Your eved is like your body, meaning it's a person, and he should have enough sense to run away, and if he doesn't, then you have to take the coal off, at least, and if not, then you are exempt. The shore, on the other hand, is mamon. If it dies, then you are liable for payment. Hadron alach ketzer haregel, Baruch Hashem, we have successfully finished the second chapter of Masechet Bava Kama, and Yitzhak Hashem, in the next podcast, we'll begin with the third parak, Hameniach et akad v'rshut harabim. Everybody should have a wonderful day.